Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, June 16th, 2025. From the front page, U.S. Politics, Violence Stalks Recent U.S. History, by Nicholas Riccardi. The assassination of one Democratic Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting of another lawmaker and his wife at their homes, is among a long and unsettling roll call of political violence in the United States. In the past 2 months alone, saw two Israeli embassy staffers killed in Washington, D.C., and two firebombings, one on a Colorado march calling for the release of Israeli hostages, and one at the official residence of Pennsylvania's governor on a Jewish holiday when he and his family were inside. Before that, a healthcare executive was assassinated on the streets of New York last year. There was an attempted assassination of Donald Trump in small-town Pennsylvania during his presidential campaign last year. The husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was attacked in 2022 by a believer in right-wing conspiracy theories, and a liberal gunman shot at GOP practice for the congressional softball game in 2017. We've entered into this especially scary time in the country, where it feels the sort of norms and rhetoric and rules that would tamp down on violence have been lifted, said Matt Dalek, a political scientist at George Washington University who studies extremism. A lot of people are receiving signals from the culture. Politics also drove large-scale massacres. Gunmen who killed 11 worshippers in 2018 at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, 23 shoppers at a heavily Latino Walmart in El Paso in 2019, and 10 black people at a Buffalo grocery store in 2022, each cited the conspiracy theory that a secret cabal of Jews were trying to replace white people with people of color. That has been a staple on parts of the right that support Trump's push to limit immigration. The Anti-Defamation League found that from 2022 through 24, all of the 61 political killings in the United States were committed by right-wing extremists. That changed on the first day of 2025, when a Texas man flying the flag of the Islamic State group killed 14 people by driving his truck through a crowded New Orleans street before fatally shot by police. You're seeing acts of violence from all different ideologies, said Jacob Ware, a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations who researches terrorism. It feels more random and chaotic, and more frequent. The U.S. has a long and grim history of political violence, from presidential assassinations dating back to the killing of President Abraham Lincoln, to lynchings and violence aimed at black people in the South, to the 1954 shooting inside Congress by four Puerto Rican nationalists. Experts say the past few years, however, likely reached a level not seen since the tumultuous days of the 60s and 70s, when icons like Martin Luther King Jr., John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated. Ware noted that the most recent surge comes after the new Trump administration shuttered units that focus on investigating white supremacist extremism and pushed federal law enforcement to spend less time on anti-terrorism and more on detaining people who are in the country illegally. We're at the point, after these 6 weeks, where we have to ask about how effectively the Trump administration is combating terrorism, Ware said. One of Trump's first acts in office was to pardon those involved in the largest act of domestic political violence in this century, the January 6, 2021 assault on the U.S. Capitol, intended to prevent Congress from certifying Trump's 2020 election loss. Those pardons broadcast a signal to would-be extremists on either side of the political debate, Dalek said. They sent a very strong message that violence, as long as you're a Trump supporter, will be permitted and may be rewarded. Often those who engage in political violence don't have clearly defined ideologies that easily map onto the country's partisan divides. A man who died after he detonated a car bomb outside a Palm Springs fertility clinic last month left writings urging people not to procreate and expressed what the FBI called nihilistic ideations. Each political attack seems to inspire partisans to find evidence that the attacker is on the other side. Little was known about the man police identified as a suspect in the Minnesota attacks, 57-year-old Vince Bolter, who has since been arrested. Authorities say they found a list of other apparent targets that included other Democratic officials, abortion clinics, and abortion rights advocates, as well as flyers for the day's anti-Trump parades. Conservatives online seized on the flyers and the fact that Boatler apparently once was appointed to a state workforce development board by Democratic Governor Tim Walz to claim the suspect must be a liberal. It was reminiscent of the fallout from the attack on Paul Pelosi, the former House Speaker's then 82-year-old husband, who was seriously injured by a man wielding a hammer. Right-wing figures theorized the assailant was a secret lover, rather than what the authorities said he was, a believer in pro-Trump conspiracy theories, who broke into the Pelosi home, echoing the January 6 rioters who broke into the Capitol by saying, "Where is Nancy?" On Saturday, Nancy Pelosi posted a statement decrying the Minnesota attack. "All of us must remember that it's not only the act of violence, but also the reaction to it that can normalize it," she wrote. Trump had mocked the Pelosis after the 2022 attack, but on Saturday he joined in the official bipartisan condemnation of the Minnesota shootings, calling them horrific violence. Turning to page 2, "Crews battle fire on Green Street" by Danette Beckett. Decatur. Crews from the Decatur Fire Department were able to save a house from total loss after a fire Saturday evening. According to a press release issued by Deputy Fire Chief Brian Lockwood, crews arrived approximately 9:46 p.m. on Saturday to a report of a house on fire at 1197 West Green Street in Decatur. Upon arrival, crews found smoke showing from the eaves of the home. The report stated, crews entered the residence and began extinguishing the fire, performing a search and providing ventilation. The companies worked together to quickly diminish the fire. The house suffered major damage after the fire extended into the attic. No one was home at the time of the fire, and the house was undergoing renovations. The Decatur Fire Department Fire Investigation Unit responded to the scene and is investigating the cause of the fire. Returning to the front page, "We are not going away." "Peaceful crowd takes to Decatur for No Kings rally" by Danette Beckett. Decatur. Music can turn protests into a party, even if they are the popular protest songs from the 60s and 70s, like "Power to the People" and "Fortunate Son." They are the basic classic revolution songs, said Autumn Fuller. When you hear these songs, you know what it's about. They are imprinted with history. With the music and various flags and signs supporting the National No Kings movement, crowds gathered Saturday afternoon at the corner of North Franklin and East El Dorado Streets, near the Decatur Civic Center marquee. The No Kings rally were scheduled to counter what organizers said were President Donald Trump's plans to honor his 79th birthday, Flag Day, and the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army's founding. Nearly 2,000 rallies were scheduled throughout the country, including the local event at 1 p.m., and the All Power to the People protest at noon, both on Saturday at the Decatur Civic Center. "None of these people here are your enemy," said No King's organizer and Decatur resident Wolfgang Stubblefield. Those attending expected few counter-protesters or opposition. They have no idea what's going on, said Stubblefield about the opposition's knowledge of the local protest. Although he is only a six-month-old pup, Emmett knew something exciting was going on. Bill Cogan brought the pooch to the rally for support. He's trying to learn, he said, but I'm leery of him getting hurt. Other than the continuous honking from passing vehicles, the atmosphere was ideal for pets as well as people. Those against the crowd's stance were minimal or kept to themselves. Stubblefield began organizing the No Kings event only a few days ago. He expected the rally would be a peaceful demonstration. People will get together, play some music, connect with one another, he said, before the crowd of more than 100 people of various ages began to arrive. An hour before people began to arrive for the rally, Fuller, who is with the People's Revolutionary Party of Decatur, encouraged others to start the festivities with the All Power to the People protest. I want to come out here today to uplift the oppressed and suppressed voices from every corner, she said. From Palestine to Mexico, we have Gay Pride, Black Lives Matter. We've got a little bit of everybody. Tolerance was a focus for most of the crowd. We are not going away, Fuller said, and we are not going to tolerate the administration and the nasty things they're trying to do to people. Decatur resident Alex Shaw said he joined the rally out of frustration. I've had enough, he said. I have a lot of opinions, and shouting it into Facebook doesn't do anything. It felt like time to get out and say something out in the world. Shaw was ready to defend his stance while at the rally. We have laws, and they are being blatantly violated, he said. Everybody, regardless of how they got here, deserves to be seen in court. The actions that have been taken away are just not the way our country does things. Before they arrived Saturday afternoon, some members of the crowd were aware of the opposition's comments. But this is a united effort of different people, said Decatur resident Emily Davidson. Davidson addressed the Palestine and Israel conflict as well. But this country and what's happening with ICE, that's the same thing they're doing to the Palestinian people, she said. It's all related. It's definitely a united issue. However, Fuller said she was offended by the anti-Jewish accusations. I am a Jew, she said. Grace Smith Phillips held a black sign with a hand-drawn word, Death to Tyrants, a quote from the Robin Hood animated film. It's for little kids, she said. The Decatur resident said she wanted to show support by being present with others in the community. The more the merrier, she said. We're not the biggest city, but if all of us small towns or smaller cities start doing it, hopefully more traction will come. And again from the front page, 250 years of the Army, Tanks, Troops, Role in Celebration, by Lolita Baldor, Associated Press, Washington. The grand military parade that President Donald Trump wanted for years barreled down Constitution Avenue on a Saturday, with tanks, troops, and a 21-gun salute, playing out against a counterpoint of protests around the country. The president, on his 79th birthday, sat on a viewing stand south of the White House to watch the display of American military might, which began early and moved swiftly as light rain and clouds shrouded the Washington Monument. The parade included more than 6,000 soldiers and 128 Army tanks. Trump tried to hold a procession like it in his first term, after seeing such an event in Paris in 2017, but the plans never came together until the parade was added 2 months ago to a long-planned event, recognizing the Army's 250th anniversary. Every other country celebrates their victories. It's about time America did too, Trump declared in brief remarks. The president praised the strength of the military's fighting forces and said U.S. soldiers fight, 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 and they win, 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 putting on a new twist on a line he regularly delivered during his 2024 campaign rallies after he has survived an assassination attempt. At times, Trump stood and saluted as troops marched past the reviewing stand, but attendance appeared to fall far short of early predictions that as many as 200,000 people would attend the festival and parade. There were large gaps between viewers near the Washington Monument on a day of steamy weather and the threat of thunderstorms. The Army's Golden Knights parachute team descended from the overcast skies toward the reviewing stand earlier than planned in the drizzly skies above the National Mall. The parade wound down Constitution Avenue, lined with security fencing and barriers. A flyover of military aircraft included World War II era planes, including a B-25 Mitchell bomber, and Army helicopters flew low over the crowd, below the top of the Washington Monument. Mounted soldiers from the 1st Cavalry Division made an appearance. It appeared that plans to have U.S. Air Force fighter jets fly over were scrapped because of the weather. Trump swore in 250 new recruits and returning soldiers into service, with soldiers repeating an oath after him. "Welcome to the United States Army, and have a great life," he said to them afterwards. Country music singer Warren Zeiders performed, as did God Bless the USA singer Lee Greenwood. The event was capped off by a fireworks show. Returning to page 2, Decatur resident dies after Friday traffic crash, by Danette Beckett. Decatur. A 68-year-old Decatur resident has died as a result of a traffic crash on Rock Springs Road. According to a news release issued by the Decatur Police Department, officers were called at approximately 3:11 p.m. Friday to the intersection of West Rock Springs Road and Westgate Drive in reference to a motor vehicle crash involving two vehicles. The initial investigation revealed that a red 2005 Chrysler PT Cruiser was sitting in the eastbound lane of West Rock Springs, facing westward, Sergeant Brett Hill stated in the report. The PT Cruisers abruptly turned right across the westbound lane and toward a driveway on the north side of West Rock Springs Road. A tan Chevrolet truck traveled westbound on West Rock Springs Road and collided with the passenger side of the PT Cruiser. The driver of the Chevrolet 1500, an 18-year-old man, and his juvenile passenger, both from Decatur, were transported to a local hospital with minor injuries. The driver of the PT Cruiser was seriously injured and transported to a local hospital, where he was pronounced deceased a short time later. Members of the Fatal Accident Investigation Team responded to the scene and continue to investigate the crash. Woman posing as Ameren worker charged in burglaries, by Scott Cousins. A woman posing as an Ameren employee was charged with residential burglary about a week after multiple law enforcement agencies had posted warnings about a pair working in Madison County. The 33-year-old Cedar Lake, Indiana woman was charged June 11th with two counts of residential burglary. The Madison County Sheriff's Department presented the case. According to court documents on May 28th, the suspect allegedly entered a home in the 700 block of Oakwood Avenue, East Alton, to commit theft, and on May 30th, allegedly entered a home in the 100 block of Hilltop Place, Collinsville, to commit theft. She was ordered remanded to jail. In state news, Madigan's career closes with 7.5-year sentence by John O'Connor. The stunning downward spiral of Michael Madigan's political career ended Friday with a 7.5-year prison sentence and a $2.5 million fine for the former Illinois House Speaker and the longest-serving legislative leader in U.S. history, after he was convicted of trading legislation for the enrichment of his friends and allies. U.S. District Judge John Robert Blakey sentenced the 83-year-old in U.S. District Court in Chicago. Nicknamed the Velvet Hammer for his quiet but hard-nosed style, Madigan was convicted in February on 10 of 23 counts in a remarkable corruption trial that lasted 4 months. The case churned through 60 witnesses and mountains of documents, photographs, and taped conversations. Federal prosecutors sought a 12.5-year prison term. Madigan attorneys wanted 5 years probation, saying he is a good man who tried to do right by taxpayers and needs to be home to care for his ailing wife, Shirley, who submitted a videotaped statement to the court requesting her husband be able to come home. But Blakey noted that federal sentencing guidelines allowed for a term of 105 years based on findings in evidence, notably that Madigan committed perjury when he took the stand in his own defense. Blakey was particularly piqued over what he called a nauseating display of perjury and evasion. You lied. You did not have to. You have a right to sit there and exercise your right to silence, Blakey said, but you took the stand and you took the law into your own hands. During a legislative career spanning half a century, Madigan served nearly 4 decades as Speaker, the longest on record for a U.S. legislator. Combined with more than 20 years as chairperson of the Illinois Democratic Party, he set much of the state's political agenda while hand-picking candidates for political office. More often than not, he also controlled political map-making, drawing lines to favor his party. Meanwhile, prosecutors said, the Chicago Democrat built a private legal career that allowed him to amass a net worth of $40 million. Madigan was convicted on 10 counts of bribery, conspiracy, wire fraud, and other charges for ensuring approval of legislation favorable to utility giant ComEd in exchange for kickbacks and jobs and contracts for loyalists, including a Chicago alderman seeking a paid job on a state board after retiring from government. The jury deadlocked on 6 counts, including an overarching racketeering conspiracy, and acquitted him on several others. Madigan spoke briefly before sentencing, asking to avoid prison so he could care for his wife and spend his final years with his family. I'm truly sorry for putting the state of Illinois through this, said Madigan. I tried to do my best to serve the people of the state of Illinois. I am not perfect. During a 3.5-hour hearing, Blakey noted the numerous letters sent to the court supporting Madigan. The judge said Madigan was a good family man and a kind man, helping his neighbors without pause. But, he said, being great is hard. Being honest is not. It's hard to commit crimes. It actually takes effort. Assistant U.S. Attorney Sarah Stryker hammered home the fact that Madigan has not taken responsibility for the crimes or shown any remorse. Stryker noted that Madigan, having served as Speaker through 7 governors, had every opportunity to set the standard for honest government. Instead, he said, he fit right into the mold of yet another corrupt leader in Illinois. Defense lawyers had called the government's recommendation sentence draconian and given Madigan's age a life sentence. He did not seek to be greedy. He lived a very frugal life, Madigan attorney Dan Collins said. The rhetoric wants to make Mike responsible for the long history of corruption in Illinois. He is not, Judge. He is one man. They asked Blakey to consider the totality of Madigan's life and work and the need to care for his wife in requesting a sentence of 5 years probation with 1 year of home confinement, a requirement to perform community service, and a reasonable fine. In a video submitted to the court, Shirley Madigan said she needed her husband to come home. "I really don't exist without him," she said. "I wish I could say that I do, but I don't know what I would do without Michael. I would probably have to find some place to live, and I'd probably have to find care." Tried alongside Madigan was his former legislative colleague and longtime confidant, Michael McLean. The jury couldn't reach a decision on any of the 6 counts against McLean. He was convicted, though, in a separate trial over the ComEd conspiracy last year. On page 5, National and World News, The Digest. West Virginia flooding kills at least 4. Flash flooding caused by torrential rains killed 4 people in northern West Virginia, and rescue crews were searching Sunday for 4 missing people, while authorities were assessing damage to roads, bridges, natural gas lines, and other infrastructure. Officials said 2 to 4 inches of rain fell in parts of Wheeling and Ohio County within a half an hour Saturday night. "We almost immediately got started getting 911 calls for rescue of people being trapped," Lou Vargo, Ohio County's Emergency Management Center, said at a news conference Sunday. "During this time, we had major infrastructure damage to roads, bridges, and highways, where we couldn't respond to a lot of incidents." Vargo added, "It happened so quickly and so fast. I've been doing this for 35 years. I've seen major floods here in the city and the county. I have never seen anything like this." Helicopter crashes in northern India. Lucknow, India. A helicopter carrying Hindu pilgrims crashed Sunday in the northern Indian state of Uttarakhand, killing 7 people on board, officials said. The helicopter was headed to a prominent Hindu pilgrimage site in the Himalayas from Kednarth temple town when it crashed minutes after taking off, officials said, on what should have been a 10-minute flight. Nandan Singh Rajwar, a local disaster management official, said authorities launched a search and rescue operation following the crash. Officials said the crash was believed to have been caused by poor weather conditions. Netherlands. Tens of thousands of demonstrators donned red and marched Sunday in the Netherlands to protest the Dutch government's policy toward Israel, exceeding the turnout for a similar event in May. Protesters walked around The Hague to symbolically create the red line they say the government failed to set to halt Israel's campaign in Gaza. Greenland. French President Emmanuel Macron warned that Greenland is not to be sold nor to be taken in a key visit Sunday to the strategic Arctic territory coveted by U.S. President Donald Trump. Ukraine war. 1 person was killed and 13 others wounded Sunday in a Ukrainian drone attack in Russia's Tatarstan region, local authorities said. Regional Governor Rostam Minihanikov said the drone was destroyed, but falling debris struck a vehicle manufacturing plant in the Yelabuga district, some 750 miles from the front. New Delhi. At least 2 people died and 32 were injured after an iron bridge over a river collapsed Sunday at a popular destination in India's western state. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, June 16th, 2025. Please stay tuned.